You're listening to the Battle Ready Podcast. You can find more information about Battle Ready and Addison Free Will Baptist Church on our website, addisonfwbchurch.org/Battle Ready Bible Study. Battle Ready Podcast, believing what it says.
Thank you for joining us for Battle Ready. We're glad to have you here this Easter Eve with us. We are going to be in Matthew chapter 10. Please open your Bibles with us. Join us. Let's lead them in. Laura, what do we want to talk about tonight?
I'd like to talk about timing and God's timing. And I'm not sure exactly where to start with this thought, but it seems like you're either... God's timing, we talk about all the time that His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts and His time is not our time. And it seems like we're either waiting a very long time where it seems like nothing is happening at all, or things are happening so fast you can't get your breath. It seems like a lot of times the way God handles time and the way we'd like Him to handle time aren't necessarily the same.
And a good point to that is, I'm thinking I'm on the same track, so if I'm not, you tell me. But I'm thinking, you know, when you end the Old Testament, when we ended with the kings, and we ended with them coming back out of captivity, and we ended with them, you know, trying to get it right, trying to set back up new, trying to do all this stuff, and then we started in Matthew, we have a 400-year period of kind of silence, and it's like, well, is He listening? Is the promises
Where'd
still working? Are we? Is this still what Where'd we're supposed to do?
Doesn't mean God was not dealing with people as individuals, or nothing was happening where God was in. But it's quiet for all of us studying that. Like, where'd you go?
Yeah, what happened? And can you imagine? I was just thinking about this today. Can you imagine if you were from Israel? You were of one of the 12 tribes. You were of the tribe of Judah, even. And you come back after captivity, and your grandfathers and your great-grandfathers set this all up, and then it's 400 years before the fullness of time, before God's ready to start the next part of this. But you're right. Sometimes it feels like you're waiting and you're waiting, or you're swimming as fast as you can and you can't get it all. Yeah, so the timing, that's an important thought.
It's interesting you said that 400 years between the Old and the New Testament. I'm thinking also of the 400 years between when they go down to Egypt to meet Joseph and when Moses arrives.
Yes.
It's also about 400 years.
Yes.
And I was thinking about today,
right.
When I was thinking about the story we're about to, not story, but the account we read in Matthew 10, my mind went to the Passover. And thinking about the fact that for 400 years they had lived in Egypt, and it seemed silent. It didn't seem like God was...
They were just existing.
They were waiting. They already knew. Joseph told them, when God sends you a deliverer, when He comes and He takes you out of this place, take my bones with you. Mm-hmm. Right? So they had already been told, they already knew that a deliverer would come and take them out of that place. Mm-hmm. But for 400 years, seemingly...
It's quiet. And you almost...
We're having to figure this thing out on our own. And then all of a sudden, things move so fast. It's like at this breakneck speed. I've marked this place where Moses is telling them... He's telling them about that last plague, about the death of the firstborn, and about Passover, what they're supposed to do. And when he gives the instructions for how they're supposed to consume this feast, he says, one of the things, this is in Exodus 12, verse 11,
shoes
says,
on your feet, your
loins thus girded. Shall you eat it, with your loins girded,
staff
your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So when he does move,
he moves.
But not only does he move quickly, you don't have time then to prepare.
Yes.
The time to prepare is in that season before. Because when God moves, you don't have time to wait till then.
Which is like the
you
story,
have to be ready.
Which is like the parable of the... virgins with the lamps, right? You can't just now figure it out. You gotta
If you go to the New Testament, Jesus tells them, I come quickly. And then here we are, 2024. And you think, quickly? What did you mean quickly? Because we've been waiting 2024 years, Lord, since you ascended on that cloud, mm-hmm. in that multiple witnessing situation. They saw him step on a cloud, ride it back into heaven.
And
they watched him, and he mm-hmm. says, when I come, I'm coming quickly. And all the New Testament, they're looking for him anytime.
Yeah. Paul addresses
that several times. Thessalonians, John, say, Paul, they say
what
he's coming
if
quickly.
He comes and these guys have already died? What's that mean, right? They are expecting him.
But the Bible tells us that when he comes, it will be quickly. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
Right. That's what it's
called. Right? The dead in Christ shall rise. They'll meet him in the air. Like, it's going to happen so fast. And you will not have time to prepare. If you wait until then to think about the Lord's coming, if you wait about then to think about what you need to do with Jesus, it will be too late. The time to prepare
is now.
Is now.
And the other side of that coin is, I am sure that in those 400-year stretches that we've talked about, there were people who said, see, ain't nothing to this.
They said he was coming, but everything's the same since I was young.
And that's what it says. That's what they say.
It's, right? And now I'm old, and the Lord hasn't come. Yep. So don't worry about that.
So I was having a conversation today with a couple of friends at lunch, and the one of them said, "You know what?" He was talking. He was giving me advice, and he said, "You really can't worry about stuff. You can't worry about what's in the future or what's going on because," he said, "the Lord comes back. Doesn't matter anyway." And I thought, how many times have I said that to other people? And then someone has to remind me of that same thing. I can't worry about anything, right? Because it all belongs to him and his timing. So the point you're making about his timing is kind of really important, especially too when you're reading scripture. Because sometimes on the Old Testament side of things, and even sometimes in the New, periods of time pass between sentences.
This analogy doesn't even come close to covering the distance in what I'm about to say.
Okay.
But we're sitting here playing tic-tac-toe, and God is playing three-dimensional chess.
Mm-hmm.
I have a starting point.
That's a perfect analogy.
I was born, and I began to exist, and because I've got life in Christ, eternal life in him, I won't cease to exist. But Christ is in my past, and he's in my present, and mm-hmm. he's in my future,
and
he's outside of my time, and he's eternal beyond time, and he transcends time. There was a day that he said, day one, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he said, let there be light, and there was light. He began this thing where he set energy and time and matter all in motion. Mm-hmm. There was a time when none of those things existed and didn't need to. He didn't need them to be what he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never known a world without it.
Right.
And God's time is just constantly different. And the reason I bring this up is because in this lesson, we see Jesus send out his disciples as missionaries into the world. We see things rapidly change mm-hmm. in a new direction. At the same time, you know, you think about Jesus, all that Jesus accomplished, all that he's done, time is hinged on his shoulders. The time mm-hmm. of mankind. Mm-hmm. Civilizations mm-hmm. are hinged on what he did there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We still, even if you're an atheist, even if you're a non-believer, there are, everything in your life depends on what happened in 33 years of this man's life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get away from it. You can change the name of things. You still haven't changed the fact that it's based on when he came. Right? And when mm-hmm. he was born.
Yeah. You can't change that.
You can't change anything about it. Everyone is affected by the life lived by Jesus Christ on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're all affected by that. And yet, he's moving at such a astronomical speed. Right? Yeah. That he starts out in this chapter offering himself as king to his own people.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to read this. I know we haven't read anything we're supposed to read yet, but in John chapter 1, he came unto his own.
John chapter 1.
And his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In this chapter, he opens up the opportunity to the people in Israel mm-hmm. to accept him as king. He announces,
mm-hmm.
he sends heralds to say, mm-hmm. your king is here,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And they reject it.
Mm-hmm.
They reject that king. Now, there are people that want him to be king, and there are multitudes that follow him looking for him to be king. Mm-hmm. But for the majority, for the large part, they rejected that king. Mm-hmm. You think, you know, how long did he give them to decide? Not very long. Because after his resurrection,
because
right, it's open to everyone.
Because in some ways they should have been looking for this.
Because they had how many thousand years to get ready, and 400. How many thousands of
no, well, oh, you're talking about. Now.
I mean, from
you're
the talking, first prophecy yeah, to them, I don't even mean
1500
now.
1500 years in the Old Testament plus 400 years between. Yeah,
that he said, I'm going to send some, more than that, because if you can go back to where he said it in Genesis.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
I'm going to send this one, the one that they're looking for, the Savior, not Moses, mm-hmm. not David, but the Savior,
and
the
King. He tells
King.
Them at some. At, I'm not sure where if it's in this lesson.
Your time
I can't
to
remember.
Prepare was all that
but he
time.
Said, Moses told you I was coming.
Right.
Moses told you to watch for me, and you should be. If you believe Moses, you'd understand me.
And what he says is those that the, what we know from Scripture, what we know from reading the Gospels, is those that were looking for him saw him.
Mm-hmm. And there were still some. Looking.
And those that had given up looking for him rejected him.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to prepare in that waiting time. Mm-hmm. I guess that's my point. And then when it happens, it's almost like, I don't know how, it's almost like you have to be ready right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to happen that way again.
Stay ready.
God's timing does that.
Right? We so from the old right? person's perspective here, you might have been in church your whole life, but are you ready? Do you have everything in order? Are you what you say you are? Do you stay on that rock as close as you can be?
The closest analogy I can think to try to express what I'm trying to say is your experience with your kids. When your kids are little, sometimes it seems like the days are 56 hours long. It feels like you're so tired, and it feels like you're up all the time. And you love it, but mm-hmm. you're so tired. It feels like everything is just immediate and pressing, and you think, this is a long time. And then you turn around and they're grown up.
It's not a long
And it
time.
Really feels like, wait a minute. I had all this time to get ready for that.
But I didn't.
Over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like
yes,
over in
I
a
did.
Day. But it isn't a day.
It was 18 years.
But when that actually happened, it's so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have time. You get to that day, you're dropping them off at college, you're doing whatever you're doing. You think, of all the things you forgot to tell them.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't
right?
I say, or why didn't
why
I do?
Why didn't I prepare better for this moment?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get to do it over.
You don't get to do it over.
Right? And it's the same way with our salvation. There's a reason the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Because when he moves, time to prepare is over. The time to prepare is now.
And is the thought you're thinking, are you thinking this from the fact that he sends these 12 out, which is in our
he
lesson
He sends
day,
these 12
or
out
is
to
it because
Israel?
It's, because it's Easter. And it's the
and it's
season
Easter.
Of, do you,
Both.
Do you realize what he did here? Do you realize what's happened?
I think of people that I've known personally. I'm not going to say your names. I wouldn't embarrass anybody for anything in the world. But I'm thinking of people that I've known personally who have played around the edges of a relationship with Christ. If you ask them if they believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they would say yes. They believe that. But they've never committed their life to him. They've never
He's not
surrendered
a
to him. They've not asked for salvation. They've not come to God in faith.
Mm-hmm.
They've played around with that. And they will be in churches everywhere tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because it's Easter and that's tradition. And I'm glad. Come to church tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
No matter whether you've been there one time the rest mm-hmm. of the year. Come to church tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of people that have had all this time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these, maybe not Easter morning, but one of these mornings, we're going to wake up and we're going to hear a trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And the movement of God is going to happen so fast.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have time to prepare. You're not going to have time to think. What God is doing, he's doing now. You shouldn't be shocked because he's told you he's coming for 2024 years, but you're going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to be shocked. Because it actually is here, and you thought you had time, and you don't. And if you doubt that in any way, I guess the urgency I'm trying to say is, everything else in your life testifies to you of that fact. The fact that you feel like you're young, but now you're old. That you feel your kids have grown up, and now they're moving out and gone. The fact that your car, you just bought that car, and now that car needs traded in, and it doesn't run right. You need, right? Everything in your life testifies to you of the fact that once things go, they're gone. Right?
That's funny. That reminds me. I'm
Are you with me?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to belabor it a little bit for you, though. There used to be a song that the pastor before Rick would sing, and they'd ask him for it all the time. And when they told me what the song was, I thought, what a terrible song. But the song was about death coming to get somebody. And they said, wait a minute, you didn't warn me, you didn't prepare me. And,
yes,
and death says, yeah, your hair's gray, and your eyesight's bad, and your joints hurt. I mean, it's like, yeah, you were warned all along, but you just ignored.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was a terrible song, but it's probably not a terrible song.
I just feel like we're introduced in the beginning of this chapter to the 12 disciples. Mm-hmm. We've seen some callings in the chapters coming and people following Jesus Christ. But once he's got his team assembled, I don't know how long he took to teach and train, because it's very soon that he sends them out to declare that the king is here.
And look what he says to them about that. So let's start at chapter 10 of the book of Matthew, verse 1. Mm-hmm. And remember though, too, the whole theme of Matthew is Jesus
the king
as
is here.
The king. The king is present.
The king is here. Mm-hmm. He's here. Mm-hmm. And what good news that would be if you'd been waiting for him.
Mm-hmm. If you're watching.
And if you'd been waiting for him your whole life, and now he's here. Mm-hmm. And what frustrating that news would be if you had made up your mind that you didn't need him to come anymore, which is what the Pharisees had done what the Sadducees had done. Mm-hmm. Right? And they'd already made up their mind. We can do this thing without that Redeemer coming.
Mm-hmm.
We can be the goodness that God is going to use to redeem the earth. No, you can't.
No, you can.
And think of the frustration they felt when they thought, we don't even need him. And that's really what they keep saying to Jesus is, we've got this figured out. We don't need a redeemer.
Mm-hmm. We're not falling for that trick again.
We don't need a redeemer.
We're not going to do this because now we figured it out.
Right. Yeah. We figured out how to be holy our own way.
In the Old Testament, you kept coming. We kept failing. But now we're not going to do that because we figured it out.
Yeah. And they've spiritualized these promises of God that Jesus is in the flesh acting out. They were real.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They've spiritualized these
ideas. And there's
ideas.
A lot of churches that do that today.
A lot of people ask them if they believe in the return of Christ. They'll say,
He didn't mean it that way.
No, that's not that. You got to understand. It's not literal. You got to understand. This is going to be like, you know, when we finally figure out how to live and live in peace with one another the way God would have us to do, then we'll be. Right? The heaven that we want to see and all those things.
My favorite Easter thing, and I hope we get to show
And they don't realize he's literally coming.
My favorite thing, and I'll give Alistair Begg the credit for it, because I think this is one of the best things I've heard, is he said, when we approach heaven and someone says, how are you getting there? And it has anything to do with
where the Pharisees were.
That's exactly where they are.
We've figured this out.
We've even made some extra rules that Moses forgot because he didn't know that stuff. But Alistair said, if I is anywhere in that, you messed up already. Because this has nothing to do with I. This has everything to do with him.
Who is he?
And who Christ is and what he did, not what I do. I fail every day. And people around me know I fail every day. I tell them I fail every day. But he didn't fail, and he did what the Father sent him to do. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. It says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and
Lebbaeus,
whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So their charge, not outside yet, our family.
And then I got in a discussion with somebody this week, and they're like, why does Jesus hate the Gentiles? Because they took the verse where it says that Jesus said, cast not your pearls before swine. He said he meant Gentiles. He hates the Gentiles. He loves the Jews, and how much more he loves them than us. And I'm like, wait. I want you to understand, again, this is a timing issue. So why did they spend 400 years in Egypt before God brought them into the promised land? The Bible tells you. Mm-hmm. It said because the sin of the Canaanites was not yet full. Mm-hmm. God's judgment wasn't on them yet because he is merciful.
He's gracious. Yes.
And he loved them too, right?
Yes, he's always
and he gives
like them
this time. And until the judgment time came, mm-hmm. they were held in bondage in Egypt.
They weren't
then,
there.
Then they move when God says to move.
But he told
and go
them,
that way.
He told them through the prophets more than one time, I didn't pick you
because
you were
wise
perfect,
and
or
smart
you're the best group,
no.
or you're the prettiest, or you're the... That's not what I picked
right.
you for. I picked you because you could record this and you would teach your children.
Not only that, so that I could
show
your
are.
Weak through your mm-hmm. weakness my strength.
Right.
That's what Jesus said.
Right.
I'm going to show through the fact that you're not the greatest.
Well, just for
1,500
years-ish, or however long it was, I want to say that. I want to say that. If that's not the right number, forgive me. But from Moses' law, all they did was show they couldn't keep it. They
and I'm going to say something
that God wanted them
there, make your protest known in the comments because I love you anyway. But the reason he's telling them to go to the Israel first is because they're about to be judged.
They're about to be judged.
We know that happened in the Old Testament. It's happening right here. Mm-hmm. He's saying go
in
to them
AD,
first.
We're going
to
blow it.
Because
blow
not
up.
Just that, but they should be looking for me. Mm-hmm. Right? They should be looking
so,
for me.
So another,
go to them first.
So another kind of a
first
twist
chance.
On that time thing is just because it takes a long time for something to happen doesn't mean the promise isn't still true.
And it doesn't mean that once it begins it's going to take a long time.
No. It, right.
It's going
it
to happen
goes
rapidly.
Ways.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's going to happen quickly.
It says, but,
so
it,
first,
but
go to them because they you know what? They have a limited time to hear this message. There's
lost
going to be
sheep.
A lot of trouble come mm-hmm. to Israel in the next coming decades mm-hmm. after Jesus sends okay. these people out to them. Mm-hmm. And they still, here's the thing, God's not going to make them do anything. He's not forcing them. They have a choice to make. Mm-hmm. They have free will that God has
They're
graciously
the same
given
as everybody
us.
Else.
They're not captives or prisoners. They don't have to be his people if they don't want to be.
Right. Right.
Right? But he said, go to them first.
Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mm-hmm. Heal the
King's
sick.
Here.
Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. And I don't know, I really have always loved this phrase. Freely ye have received, freely give.
Goes back to the verse 2, or the, wait a minute, the verse, I think it's verse 3, where he says, he gave them the power. Verse 1. Mm-hmm. He gave them the power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to mm-hmm. heal all manner of sickness and disease. We think of the 12 disciples as like this super pack of heroes, these abnormally
religious, righteous
people, and they were nothing.
They were
God
so
gave them the power to do mm-hmm. what he gave them the power to do. And he said, because it's not your power, I gave it to you. Give it out. Use it for the people that you're preaching
to. How many times during the scriptures do the people not point that out and say, aren't these just fishermen?
I mean, think of Samson. I think we just studied Samson in homeschool. And how that God, from his birth, gave him this extraordinary gift and this extraordinary mission in his life and all the things he needed to accomplish this mission. And he's there with him even when he messes up time after time after time. But Samson says, you know, when he gets in that final situation, it says he goes to shake himself like he always did because he had gotten convinced
that. Mm-hmm.
that the power was within himself. He'd gotten convinced that he was really something.
Yeah.
And he couldn't because God had withdrawn himself. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the same way with these disciples. He's reminding them that when you go out and you do these amazing things, I'm giving you the power to do. Don't forget for a minute, I gave you the power to do it.
Freely give. Freely
right?
given. Freely give. Yep.
You don't receive. Be deceived in thinking it's you.
And don't we still do that as human beings? We work our way up through the ranks or we work through whatever.
Forgetting all you are God made.
Yeah, that everything mm-hmm. about it came from his ability in you. We forget that. We think it's us. We have this unique ability to problem solve or to get out of financial situation. But everything we have came from him in the first place.
That's true. And starting at verse 9 when he tells them how they're going out, that's what made me think of Passover. Because some of the words are even the same. Some of the words cross over from mm-hmm. Exodus to this mm-hmm. chapter in Matthew. Because he's telling to them, like, you have a limited time. You need to get up and go right now. Mm-hmm. And when you go, don't think about packing. Don't think about preparing. Just like he told them, get the staff in your hand. Mm-hmm. Get the shoes on your feet. What I'm doing quickly. You know, it's not like what would we would do. We're like, okay, we got this great big mission plan, and we're going to go out all over Israel, and I'm going to train you for 16 years, and we'll send you out, and you'll know exactly what to say when they ask you questions. That's not what Jesus said. He said, right now is the time. He said, when you open your mouth, I'll fill it. Whatever money you need, I'll take care of it. Whatever provision that you are requiring, I will go ahead of you and make sure you have it. He's by God's power, I'll make sure you have it. But go right now, and your message is this: the King is here, mm-hmm. and it's right now. They are literally the voice of the trumpet.
They are.
That's what they are saying now. This is a picture. This is a picture of what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. Any minute. There's no preparation for this. Mm-hmm. The King's here. Are you ready?
And what right?
That's what they say. And he said, you go in that house preach. And they don't believe you?
Yeah, we ain't got that far yet.
Well, but you go in that house and they don't believe you.
Leave.
Move. You've got more people to tell. Mm-hmm. Don't stay there and be like trying to convince them and wrestle mm-hmm. them. Oh, no, they either believe it or they don't. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Because we have a limited amount of time to work. Get after it.
And what does the kingdom of heaven mean when you hear that? I mean, that's a phrase that a lot of people say.
It's announcing who he is, the Messiah. I'm he. And if you want to know who the king that God sent, right?
Right
that,
here he is.
From David, from that land, the promised one. It's me. Mm-hmm. Right?
So when I think about that, I think about the fall. The relationship between God and the earth and the created mm-hmm. and how that's broken by that sin. And at some point we get that back, right? We know that at the end of the book we're going to get all that back to a right relationship, back to a right. But the kingdom, he's telling them, I'm here, right? Mm-hmm. Now,
it's me.
It's me. The kingdom is here, and in that kingdom, okay, I'm going to stretch out here for a minute, and I'm thinking as I go. In that kingdom that is coming, that we haven't seen yet, we've seen him, but we know who the king is, but we haven't seen the life of that kingdom yet, with no sickness, no death, no demons. I mean, I know I've been on that for a couple of weeks, I'm sorry, but that's kind of how my mind has gone through this study. We're going to see that eventually. That's at the end of the book. That's when this is full blown. The kingdom now is here.
Because they rejected the kingdom.
Because they rejected the kingdom here. Right. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
That doesn't
exist.
Mean it wasn't offered here.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good way to put it.
It's offered here. It's rejected.
Says,
he came unto his own.
Preach, say.
But his own received
him not.
The
kingdom is at hand. Heal the sick. Mm-hmm. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. So, healing the sick and cleaning the sick. Two different things right there, right?
Things, yeah.
Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Verse 9. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Verse 10. Nor script for your journey.
Money.
Neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat.
I'll take care of what you need.
And verse 11, I can tell you from my own experience, and you know this to be true because I do it every time we write a Sunday school lesson, mm-hmm. I can overthink things to death. Mm-hmm. I wish I didn't. I wish it was something I
they
didn't
They don't have
do.
Time to overthink things.
But he's telling them not to overthink it.
They don't have time to. They have a job to do, and they have to do it quickly.
And we do too, mm-hmm. right? We shouldn't be overthinking everything.
Now, he will tell them later on. He will tell them before he goes to the cross when he said, now you need... To have, you need to prepare. Take two goats. Mm-hmm. You need, mm-hmm. you know, he tells them, you're going to go this missionary journey, this first missionary journey.
This is trust.
To the house of Israel is quick. It is fast. It is now. Judgment is coming, mm-hmm. right? They're going to have a choice to make. They're going to have to make it rapidly. Mm-hmm. When he's getting ready to go to the cross and he tells them that you're going to go out into the world and you're going to be persecuted, you're going to have to, he says, you know what? You're going to need to prepare. Mm-hmm. He still says, when you stand before kings and magistrates, I'll fill your mouth. I'll tell you what mm-hmm. to say. You don't have to be panicked about what you're going to do. But prepare yourself. Because why? Now we've got some time we've got to work. We've got some time we've got to hold on. When he comes, he's coming quickly. But during this time, you've got some mm-hmm. preparation to do to make yourself ready, because the time of judgment is not immediately right there. But they still need the gospel right there, because your judgment comes when you leave this earth and you stand before the Lord. You're going to give an account for what you've done in this life. God, right then is your judgment. Mm-hmm. Right then, you have to have been prepared before that time, right? But the Lord's return, we need to take two coats now. We need to take provision.
I get that part.
We need to take the scrap.
What I think, though, what I'm trying to punch that hole into is that they aren't going to answer him and say, yeah, but now I don't know. We got
to
think about
this,
because in some ways we don't have time to. We need to quit talking ourselves out of doing what we're supposed to do, mm-hmm. because we overthink or we figure out we're too dependent on our planning. Does that make sense? Is that any sensible mm-hmm. thing there? Verse 11, and into whatever city or whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence.
Who's worthy is determined on who recognized the king. Mm-hmm. Do you recognize, have you been waiting on the king? Mm-hmm. Are you ready to receive your king? He's here. Mm-hmm. That's the mm-hmm. determination of your worthiness.
Yep.
Do you recognize who the king is? And if they don't, move on.
And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when they depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.
Mm-hmm.
So he does it.
We think about Sodom and Gomorrah, that we think about fire and brimstone from the sky, everything destroyed. Guess what? In a day, in a moment. Mm-hmm. Instantly, mm-hmm. right? Happened so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was gone. Everything changed. Judgment fell,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's saying to us, and this, what a warning to the nation of Israel right here. He's saying, you that should have been looking for me, when judgment falls, it's going to be worse for you than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah, because you knew.
Mm-hmm. You've had time to be ready.
You've had all this time and all this grace and all this mercy, all this long suffering of God. And when judgment falls, you have nothing to say.
You can't say you didn't know.
You can't say you didn't know. You can't make any excuses. Those that know better have a harsher judgment on them. The Bible tells you that in more than one place. If you have known to do good, right? It's a different kind of thing. And I don't mean to belabor this, but you think about 2024 years of the Bible going out, of the gospel going out, of the Holy Spirit of God through men and women spreading the gospel throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
When we stand in judgment, how much worse is it going to be than Sodom and Gomorrah?
And you know what?
He didn't give Sodom and Gomorrah his son.
No. And that's not the first time he's used.
He gave his son to
the
us.
The prophets all through
and we rejected.
The Old Testament used Sodom and Gomorrah as that example.
That warning.
That is their warning. Because they'll say it'll be better for them. It'll be better for Sodom, and as bad as mm-hmm. it was for them, than it will be for you. The prophets say that over and over mm-hmm. and over. Everybody likes to say, "Oh, that wasn't anything."
This really was Jesus speaking, right?
And that's Jesus speaking.
That's
yes,
Jesus speaking. Who is going
to
be?
It shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, how tolerable was it? In the day of judgment than for that city.
You know, going back to the Passover, which to me just keeps reflecting.
Mm-hmm.
To me, in my mind, it's a reflection of what he's saying here. And I think, you know, if you had waited, you thought, well, I'm not really sure if I can trust Moses and Aaron. I'm not really sure if they're hearing for the Lord or not. And I'm pretty comfortable here in Egypt. I know what to expect here anyway. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to do is when I see the firstborn, like when I see that judgment come, then I'm going to go get the blood, put it on my door. You wouldn't have time.
Mm-mm.
You couldn't do what you needed to do that. That Passover had to be put up for 3 days and watched, right? It had to be washed to make sure there wasn't a blemish in it. The blood had to be collected. The meat had to be roasted. The preparation had to be made. You'd had to already have done the things that you needed to do in the time that God gave you to do it. Because when judgment came, you wouldn't have time to do anything. When judgment falls here, on those. There were people in 70 AD, I'm sure, mm-hmm. that passed away who had heard the warnings of these very disciples mm-hmm. as they went in and did exactly what God would have them to do, mm-hmm. right? Families that hadn't heard that the king was here and had said, you know what, I don't believe in that anymore. I'm not trusting that anymore. When judgment comes here, it's too late to do anything about it. It's too late. It's over. The city's besieged. The people are dying. The situation... There are people that are living here. If there's going to come a moment, I know I've already said this. I'm not trying to scare you. Yes, I am. Because it is frightening to think mm-hmm. about when he comes, you won't be able to say, oh, I'm going to get saved now.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to acknowledge him as God and say, God gave you the best heaven had, which is his own son, who is equal with God. He gave you the best he had. If you reject that, how much worse is judgment going to be?
Mm-hmm. Right. Because you've had opportunity.
And you know.
And then verse 16 says, behold, and I think about this, if this is what he had said to them, you would pause maybe a minute. Mm-hmm. It says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
But beware of men.
But, there's a but there, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake.
So Jesus just pulled an Isaiah right here. Mm-hmm,
for a testimony against them and the Gentiles.
If you were with us when we studied the book of Isaiah, we talked about this a lot. Mm-hmm. We'd be in the middle of the chapter of Isaiah, and Isaiah is talking about what is going to happen in the near future. And then without a change, and sometimes in the center of a verse, mm-hmm. he's talking what's going to happen at then, the end of time. Mm-hmm. Or he's talking about what's going to happen 500 mm-hmm. years in advance, or he's talking about what's going to happen when mm-hmm. Jesus comes mm-hmm. in the same. Jesus just did that again. Timing, mm-hmm. the timing of God is not mm-hmm. our timing. This first time he sent them out, they weren't scourged mm-hmm. and they weren't captured and they weren't killed. Mm-hmm. But this isn't the last time they're going to be sent out. All mm-hmm. 12 of these disciples, except for Judas, are going to be sent out, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. Paul replacing Judas's position, and some people say Matthias. But when they send them all out, they're going to face death, the persecution, all these obstacles in their way. Jesus just jumped.
That's a
right? Time. Decades mm-hmm. in the middle of this chapter saying, but when you go, let me go ahead and warn you that it's not going to be a pleasant experience. Mm-hmm. There are going to be people that hear you and are found worthy mm-hmm. because they heard that the king has come and they accepted the king. Mm-hmm. They recognize the king. But there are going to be more people that you are threatening their power. You're threatening their authority. You're threatening their position in society. And they are going to scourge you. And they are going to kill you. They're going to throw you out of the synagogues. They're going to throw you out of the temple. You need to be prepared to know that what I'm giving you to say is not easy to say. Mm-hmm. It's speaking the truth to people that don't want to hear the truth. Mm-hmm. That have already rejected me. They're not ready for me. Mm-hmm. And they don't want a king. Mm-hmm. You know what? Sometimes I worry that there are Christians who don't want a king. There are people that want to go to heaven. Listen, this is when I feel to my toes. There are people that want to go to heaven and don't want to go to hell, but there are people that don't want King Jesus. They don't want Jesus to be the authority of what they do in their life and what they don't do in their life, how they raise their kids, how they live, how they work, how they love other people, how they treat other people. They want to be king of that. Mm-hmm. They just don't want to go to hell, and they want to go to heaven. They want to be reunited with their family. But you know what? Jesus isn't half measures. He's all or nothing. He's king and he's true. Lord. The king is here, right? Mm-hmm. The king is here. Do you recognize him as king or not? Mm-hmm. That's really the only question. The question is not, do you want to go to heaven? He didn't say, go out in the highways and byways and tell him, do you want to go to heaven? He said, you go out and tell him the kingdom's here.
Mm-hmm. Tell them the kingdom.
Do you recognize the king? Because you're not going to heaven where the king rules and reigns. And you're not going to be in his kingdom where he rules and reigns just without acknowledging who he is mm-hmm. and his authority. Mm-hmm. That is the question.
And he also tells right? them in another place, they'll think, or I don't know if it's, yeah, it's him.
Because the kingdom belongs to the king.
They think they're doing God a favor by
persecuting
you.
Yep.
But verse 19, verse 19, but when they deliver you up, take no thought of thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speaketh, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come.
What's that mean?
Well, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. Unpack that a little bit.
So, again, to the speed of this thing, you will not have had a chance, right?
Every city's visible. Mm-hmm.
To preach to all the cities before the Son of Man is come. Resurrected Savior.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Christ shown in his glory. He's going to do this thing. But at the same time, guess what? The whole world is going to have a chance and is having their chance to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. That job's not going to be done before he returns either. They're going to have a chance. Mm-hmm. Is everybody going to accept him before he returns again? No. There's going to be a lot of people who will say, I was going to do that. I meant to do that. Right? I was ready to do that. I had already made up my mind. I was going to go to church. I was going to go give my life to the Lord. Guess what? He's going to come and there will be people who ran out of time. Mm-hmm. Who just ran out of time.
Or you die before you just, you know.
Because God in his wisdom knew. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who would accept him and who would not. There's a time limit on this thing.
But
that's what I mean. There's a speed.
Go into another. Don't.
There's a speed at which God is moving when he moves. Not that he's not always moving. I don't even know how to say that right. God is always at work.
Mm-hmm.
He's holding all things together. But there's a speed he moves when things get rolling. That is breathtaking.
Mm-hmm. And you're not in control of it, and you can't stop it, right? Mm-hmm. And we can't adjust for it. It happens, and you've got to stay prepared. I guess my thought always goes, because I'm older and I've been in church a long time, my thought goes to those people, like you said, who were maybe once really strong, but now they're just kind of out on the periphery looking in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really get too involved, and I don't show up all the time, because you really don't have to do that. I've been in church a long time, and I don't have to be there all the time. You know, there's more to just attendance. I don't mean it like that, but that relationship has to stay fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? It has to stay real and active and current and in anticipation of and watching for things to happen that we knew we're told it does happen. Read the book, kind of thing.
As human beings,
we find all kinds of loopholes, or we think it's a loophole. I've been in church a long time, so I'm beyond that. No, you're really not. Does that make sense in some ways? Maybe I'm not saying that right. But we think we can do, because we had a relationship or we were really strong in the faith 20 years ago. Well, see, I'm still good.
My salvation is through and by only the blood of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't stay aware, if I don't stay awake, if I don't acknowledge
that relationship,
Lord of my life, what I'll do is I'll lose the next generation. And the next generation, and the next generation,
and yourself.
Because what I'm saying is, how would they ever know that it's true if you don't know that it's true?
Mm-hmm.
If you've lost your, I mean, there are people that are in positions that God created. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, created the priesthood, the Levites,
mm-hmm.
the people in charge of these things, the ones that are teaching in the synagogue. God created these positions of authority, and they have made up their mind that they don't need him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if we're not careful, we make up our mind that we don't need him. And we've got all these things under control. The problem is, not only are you drifting away, you're taking everybody after you with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking them all down.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's serious consequences to not understanding that he's king and living like he's king.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
And when you have, yes. That's just a good point. I'll leave
and
that right there.
And living like he's king.
Verse 24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. This is still Jesus talking. Mm-hmm. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Keep going. You want to talk about that a minute.
Going.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body, soul and body in hell.
And he's still talking about God using us to get the gospel to everybody else. That God is, he still works that way. Not just when Jesus was on earth, but now. The Holy Spirit fills a man's heart with what he has to speak, and we speak to everybody we have influence over. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, you'll do greater things than he did while he was on earth. And obviously, he's the greatest there is. So what's he talking about? We will reach more people than Christ reached because there are more of us to go out and spread the gospel in every way. And we're not supposed to be going out there saying what we think or saying what we say out of fear of what men are going to do to retaliate. We're not supposed to be trying to make everybody happy. We're supposed to be saying those things that God lays on our heart, that he speaks to us, that he gives to us to share from his word. And we're supposed to boldly say that. And he said, you know what's going to happen? You're going to suffer for it. He makes no excuses for that. You're going to suffer for that. People won't want to hear what you have. Some will. Some will respond. Some will listen. Some will be safe. And some will reject it. Right? And you need to be ready for that. Mm-hmm. You need to be ready.
You shouldn't be surprised by that. Verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered.
We're going back to the bird thing from chapter 5. It doesn't mean you're worth as much as a bird. It means you're way more valuable than the bird. God notices the birds, but to tell you that you're way more important than that.
And to show you, you already know
how. He's in charge of the small things, but he thinks you're a big deal. And he knows when you suffer, he knows. And he's not paying attention. He loves you.
Even though even though it might be a quiet time.
Right?
Right? Yes. Verse 31, fear ye not, therefore, ye
are more
valued
than
many
sparrows. And that's the biggest, get that. What he's saying with that, he said, I don't miss even the tiniest thing. And you're not a tiny thing to me. Mm-hmm. Right?
He's created them to be able to find, and he finds them food, he finds them shelter.
But he's got more of a plan for you.
Seasonally, what they do. Yeah.
Right?
And wouldn't it be, I think this is, for me, part of this is, you're going out, you're going to do all these things. If I'm going to go out and do what he told me to do, I have to trust him. I have to make it up in my mind and believe in my heart. He is who he said he is. I'm not going to do these things if I don't believe who Jesus is. So when he picks these guys, he's picking people who have made up in their mind, yes, he is who he says he is. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to do it. I'm going forward.
Because they understand verse 32.
Verse 31 says, fear not, therefore, ye are more than many sparrows. Verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven.
That's why.
I
agree. Because there's way more than here to be concerned about. One of these days we're going to stand before the Father. Don't you want Christ to say, that's mine. That one is mine. And they stood, they did what I asked them to do. They lived their life. They belong to me. And I've got them covered. Right? So I'm going to do the things God asked me to do that are tough. Because. Right?
I don't want to be denied.
And not only that, he lived that example. He did what was hard. He showed us the way. And I want him standing for me. Right?
Isn't that
I'm not
true,
earning
though?
Him standing for me. I'm doing it in response to the fact that he stands for me. I see there's value beyond here.
Isn't it true, though, when it comes to people's convictions, when things get hard, we're awful easy to give up. the old timey people used to say, we have a lot of quit in us.
He just called these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just called these guys. And he's telling them, this is what you're going to have to put up with. This is what's going to happen.
They didn't go in with their eyes closed, right? They went in with full disclosure.
Because he didn't trick anybody. Mm-mm. And he gave them free will.
And he doesn't trick us.
And he gave them a choice. He said, I'm going to give you eternal life. I am the king. I'm the one promised to give you all these great things. But this is what's going to happen in this world when you speak the truth. You're just going to have to love the next world a little bit more than you love this one. Because when you get there and you're there for eternity, don't you realize how sweet it'll be when he stands up for you? Mm-hmm. When he stands up for you and you can breathe that sigh of relief knowing you are eternally safe with God because of what Jesus Christ did. Not in exchange for what you did.
No.
Right? He did it for you. And won't it be worth it, no matter what it takes, to hear him say, you belong to him?
We have a lot of quit in us. We just have a lot of quit in us. We are so fickle, and we have a lot of quit.
Mm-hmm.
34, think not that I am come, this is Jesus, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword.
Now you guys are mad. Everybody's mad when they hear this part. Keep going. This is rough. This is red letters.
For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household.
I feel like I just keep quoting Abraham Lincoln, but there are no half measures of devotion here. Mm-hmm. None are accepted. Because what he's saying to you is, if it comes down to you or Jesus, it's Jesus.
I go to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. If it comes down to peace with my neighbor or standing for Christ, I stand for Christ. He said, don't think I'm coming to help you get along with everyone.
Because they're not.
And that's the big movement in the church today. Let's make sure everybody, we don't offend anyone, and we put everybody in one big group, and nobody's upset by what the Bible has to say, so we'll take out those parts that people don't like, and we'll make sure that everybody just gets along, and we... You know what it is? Mankind's perfect relationship is a completely false one. Mm-hmm. It's one where you don't say anything because you don't have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes. It's complete pretense. And I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship like that, but I have. Where you're a friend with someone, but you've never said anything you really mean. And you've never been yourself. You've never taken that easy breath of knowing that they know you and you know them. Mm-hmm. Because you always have to be...
On guard.
Politically correct. Never saying anything
offensive.
Never going
to be advanced. Never
saying anything
if you do that. Everybody's going to
Christ is not about fake relationships. Mm-hmm. He is about the truth and true relationships and true unity in the church and the body of believers. I'm unified with anybody who knows that he's king and worships him as king and loves him. We're friends. I'm on your team.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody comes and tries to cause division and they tell me something good you're doing, I say, good for them. I'm praying for them. That's awesome. I'm their friend.
Yeah,
we're together. But what he's saying is when you are given the choice, am I going to help everybody get along? Is that what Christianity is? Everybody being non-offended by each other? Or is Christianity the truth that divides? It'll divide the wheat from the tares. It'll divide those that acknowledge the king and those who are not worthy to accept them into their home. It'll separate families, and sure, it did. We watched the blind man. We talked about him not very long ago, who was brought before the council because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath, and his parents are afraid to speak because they know they're going to get kicked out of the temple, right? And that's that sword going.
This way,
right?
Yeah.
Is it Christ you're devoted to?
Uh-huh.
Or are you devoted to keeping everybody calm? And appeased and happy. He said, I came to bring a sword. It's going to separate. You know what he's saying again? It's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Living for Christ is going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's
there's
true.
Times people won't understand why you're saying that, why you're doing that, why you believe that. Why are you
so judgmental? And why do you have to...
Right? Why don't you just accept that everybody's okay? Why don't you say that all religions lead to heaven? Why don't you tell everybody they can believe what they want to, as long as they're nice people? Because it's a lie. It's not a true relationship, and I can't lie to you and be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I can't lie to you and love you at the same time.
That's true.
It's going to bring division.
That's very true.
Right?
And
so
they,
many,
and most people,
and
don't
I bet you there
person.
Are a lot of people listening to me right now who feel like they have to lie all the time to get along with their own families. You can never say what you really think, what you really mean, because somebody's going to be mad. Most families are like that. Mm-hmm. It's not that way. It shouldn't be that way in the family of Christ. It shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you.
Because he is not about that. He's not about the falsehood.
Think not that I am. I am come to set a man at variance.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And I always go back to, does this mean he doesn't care about the relationships between mother, father, son, daughter? No. Top 10, honor your father and mother.
And you'll never have a right relationship with him until you love him first. Because
mm-hmm.
then he gives you the love to love him with. But the first priority has to be him.
Mm-hmm. And verse 38.
Because he's the king.
Because he's the king. And that's the point he's trying to
make. He's the king of the relationships, of the home, of your life,
and when you start off that day, if you start off every day with that, I'm not saying that I'm perfect at that, but if you start off every day with
"Good morning, Lord.
Good
reporting
morning,
for
Lord,
duty.
Thank you, and this day belongs right? to you, and I belong to you. So help me know what path you want me to walk today."
Mm-hmm. He'll give you what you need for everybody else.
Verse 38: "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." So, in other words, to me, that says I don't get to whine and complain and say this is too tough.
It's too hard, what you're asking me.
And I don't want to do that. And he's saying, right? you've got to, we would fight for the king, right?
Again, that worthy, relate it to what he said before about the household that wouldn't accept him as king. Mm-hmm. That worthy, if you won't take up what I'm telling you, if you won't suffer for the fact that I'm king, that this is the truth, this is the only way, mm-hmm. you're not worthy. You don't mm-hmm. believe it. Mm-hmm. You don't believe he is the king.
You don't take
because
up
if he is the king, he's worth
follow after
serving,
me,
is right?
not worthy. He that findeth his life shall lose it.
Mm-hmm. We talk about
he
that one a lot.
He that loses his life for my sake shall find it.
You could hold on to having your will and your way with all of your might, and you're going to pass away, and you're going to stand before God, and you're going to have the wrath of God upon you in judgment. Or you can give your life away to Christ, surrender it to him, and you will find more life. Never
abundantly.
Never ending life. Abundant life. Life here, mm-hmm. life hereafter, eternal life.
He's great.
But you know what? To get
goodness.
It, you gotta let it go.
And it's that way with everything. I always think of the guy with the talents. Remember he gave some this and some that mm-hmm. too, five.
He
whatever.
Had to let it go.
The and they guys. Had to do something with it and give it away to get more. Right? I think of that a lot. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. I kind of think in some ways, too, I read that again, I know. But I think in some ways, too, that is a philosophy in your life that you get tricked into not doing sometimes. You kind of think, we've talked about it a lot before, this is my work life, this is my church life, this is my home life. And it can't be separated out into segments. It all belongs to him.
Yeah.
And if I'm holding on to something, then it feels like everything I'm holding on to, there's a battle against it all the time. If I just let it go, then it takes care of itself, and I don't even have to think about how it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
40, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. I love it that he always brings to light that relationship between him and the Father, right? The relationship. Mm-hmm. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward.
What's he talking about receive?
I'd like to know what the reward is.
Yeah, well.
Go for it.
But he's talking about, again, he's sending them out into homes and unto people. You know what? We just went right now. Mm-hmm. When you go after my death, back to right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Timing again, right?
Yeah.
And he's saying right here, like those that will receive what you have to say, they're going to receive this message of Christ that's coming into their house. It's as if they're going to be rewarded like you're going to be rewarded for giving that message. It's going to go both ways. They're going to be rewarded and you're going to be rewarded. You're both going to be blessed by God by receiving this truth. So it's just talking about, like, we always think about big jobs and little jobs in the kingdom of heaven. He's saying receiving the message is going to bring blessing into your life. Believing what you've been told. Not just being this big worker for Christ, although we should work for Christ.
Yeah, I agree.
But receiving the work of Christ, we're going to get a blessing. Mm-hmm. And just, it says in the next one, just giving a cup of cold water. just responding with kindness to what Christ has sent into you to say. Let's put this to us and not just the disciples, because we're not being sent out by Christ to the nation of Israel for this limited amount of time to tell them their king is here. But we are being sent out by God once we're born again into this world to do whatever God would have us to do, to bring as many as we possibly can to the truth of who Jesus is, mm-hmm. and to invite them to know him. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about just these small acts that we commit that sometimes can have eternal consequences, that they're going to have blessings beyond this life. They're going to be as big as the reward given Billy Graham. Mm-hmm. They're going to be as big as the reward given Matthew. Mm-hmm. That you just do what God would have you to do in the setting you do it. There's not this huge job and little job mentality mm-hmm. in the kingdom of God. We all have citizens of his kingdom. And the king would like us to do what he'd have us to do. Right? And mm-hmm. if we do, the king is good. The king is good whether we do what we're... But the king is abundantly gracious to those that follow the king. Right? And if mm-hmm. you want to be blessed, do what he'd have you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I agree.
Yeah. And you're going to have that reward.
And stop worrying about what someone else is doing. Do what you're asked to do.
Right.
Right? Stop comparing.
Whatever it
no
is.
No more comparing. No
it may
comparing.
Be a cup of cold water.
And that's
it,
what it
it
says.
May be bringing
the
someone
last,
into your house.
The last verse of the conversation he's having says in verse 42, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward."
I read from John 1 where he said he came into his own and his own received him not, but as many as did receive him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. And he was talking about the nation of Israel in that case. Right, not receiving him when he came the first time, mm-hmm. right? And it's opened up to the house of the Gentiles, which is us, and the church age begins, and as many as received him, Jew or Gentile, he gave the power to become the sons of God. But mm-hmm. I want to put that right now in 2024. If he comes to his own today, the ones that call themselves church, the ones that call themselves, right, mm-hmm. by his name, mm-hmm. is there a great majority of that body that would not receive him today? That would be shocked at King Jesus coming now? Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people that have crosses hanging in their house and have
angels,
go to church and think they're spiritual, but they live exactly opposite of what the king has said we need to live like, and they're doing the opposite of what he said we're supposed to be doing. If he appeared right now, would you be ready to receive him? Would you be ready? Or are we in a position, or is the church today in such a state that his own would receive him not? Mm-hmm. Right? They would not stand ready for
so
the king to be here.
The little chapter, verse of 10 of Matthew, the king, is mostly the king talking mm-hmm. and telling us.
I don't know that we're not in the exact same situation.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you.
Right, but he's got his own that he's sending out, and they're still going out, and they're still saying, you know what? Same thing they were saying. The king's coming,
mm-hmm. and we're still saying,
get ready.
He's not really coming,
right? And did we receive him? Are we ready for the king to show up and be king? Or are we thinking but we don't want the king?
Easter
himself?
Is the perfect time to sit down and evaluate and rethink your life and restart and reset. And get it in order, right? Because tomorrow we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. We're going to be celebrating how he showed himself by many infallible proofs. Scripture tells us that. We're going to talk about what Easter is and how relevant it is to our church. Get out, go to church, get with people who are Christians, get into the Word of God, keep your Bible open, and especially I know we kind of divide up a little bit, and you talk a lot to the folks that haven't been to church yet or are just hearing or just listening to make fun or what, just getting started. But I want to remind the ones that have been in church a long time, there's no place to quit. It says you have to endure to the end, right? You have to stay faithful. You have to stay going. You don't get to say, I've done enough, I've been enough, I've had enough, I'm over. You have to keep at it. You have to keep that relationship going. What are you going to say to someone who might be thinking about coming to church on Easter, never been in church before?
I'm thinking that we have a lot of ways, and there really are a lot of ways of looking at Jesus Christ. We love Him as Savior. We love Him. We love Him when we're in trouble and we can reach out in prayer, ask people to pray, and He rescues, right? And He is a rescuer, and He is a Savior, and He is love and grace and mercy. Never stops being that, not ever. He is that through and through all the way. But I think about sometimes when the emergency's over, right? And he not only is He all those things, He's Lord, and He's truth, and He's justice. You know what? There's wrath. Mm-hmm. I think about those that will reach out in that moment. I'm thinking about people that I love very much who will reach out in that moment of crisis, and they know there's a God. They know Jesus Christ is the answer and that He's the rescuer. But they don't acknowledge Him as Savior and King and Lord. And I don't want to give you a moment's rest in that. I don't want you to give you a moment's false security in that. Because when He comes, He's coming as King. Mm-hmm. He's always been the King. Mm-hmm. He's long-suffering and He's merciful, but he's always been the King. And you won't be part of the kingdom unless you acknowledge the King. And the King has things that he's not going to bend His will on. This is the way He made it, and He gets to say how it goes. Mm-hmm. And I would invite anybody who's listening, mm-hmm. come to church, get to know. You can't know Him and not know how wonderful He is and loving. There's no way, because mm-hmm. He is wonderful. He is magnificent. He is above all. But I would ask you to make sure you know Him as Lord, that you've bent your knee to Him in surrender, because there are no half measures. He won't just rescue, right, mm-hmm. and not be Lord.
That's true.
He won't.
I don't think there's any better way to say any of that. Thank you for joining us. Have a great Easter. Have a great time with your family and your church. Celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Join us again next week. Hopefully we'll be here on Saturday. No, nothing coming up that I can think of right off. Keep your Bibles open. Stay battle ready.
You've been listening to the Battle Ready Podcast. If you have questions about what we studied today, or if you'd like to send us a message, you can email us at battlereadybiblestudy@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. That's battlereadybiblestudy@gmail.com. You can also find more information on our website, www.addisonfwbchurch.org/battlereadybiblestudy. Battle Ready Podcast, believing what it says.